West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Morning Session 2, Practicing the Twos or Threes. Message 3, Pursuing the Full Knowledge of the Truth in the Twos or Threes.
Praise the Lord for the twos and threes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why don't we all turn to the section, what is it? Four or five? Four. Section four. And now's a good time to snap your binders. Everybody want to unsnap your message, message number three. Practicing the twos or threes.
Amen.
Pursuing the full knowledge of the truth in the twos or threes.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, make us such faithful men.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, able to... what does it say here? Lord, make us examples of the saints.
Amen.
Oh, faithful to pass on what we've heard.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We do want to be channel vessels.
Amen.
Right? We want to pass on what we've heard.
Amen.
So we need to be good receivers, right?
Amen.
We need to receive, and then we can speak.
Amen.
We can speak to others the truth. Before we get into this matter of pursuing the truth, I just wanted to kind of review a little bit this matter of the twos and threes.
Amen.
You know, I really feel like this is a very crucial, even a revelation, to see that this is the building block of the church, right? You know, the brothers gave a very good introduction a couple days ago, right, when they talked about there was two places in the Bible where the Lord spoke about the church, right? Only two places, Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, right? In Matthew 16, he gave the greatest prophecy in the Bible, I will build my church,
Amen.
Right? And this is just the universal church, right? This is God's intention to have himself expressed in man.
Amen.
But then in Matthew 18, he gave another kind of a definition of the church where he talked about the twos and the threes, right?
Amen.
When there's a sinful brother, you know, what do? My brother sins against me. How do I take care of that? And eventually he says, you know, he says, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you, right? So this matter of being in groups of twos and threes is very much on the Lord's heart, right? And even there were so many examples given, right? Even the triune God himself is three, yet he's one. Right, he's one, but he's three. So the triune God has a vital group, right? The Father, Son, and Spirit. So this is really something really close to the Lord's heart. And then in Genesis, right, he said it's not good for man to be alone. So when he created man, he created Adam. He realized this is only a half, right? This one needs a complement. He needs a counterpart. He needs a bride, right? So he built Eve, right? Lord Jesus. And then in the New Testament, right, the Lord sent them out two by two, right, to preach the gospel. He never sent them out by themselves. He always grouped them together in twos, right? And of course, you know, Peter, James, and John in the book of Mark at the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a little vital group there. And then Paul and his co-workers in Acts. Everywhere you saw the name of Paul mentioned, he was with another brother, right? He was with Silas. He was with Timothy. He was with Sosthenes, the brother, right? I mean, there's so many examples. He never, whenever he introduced a book in the Bible, he always said, Paul and Timothy, or Paul and another brother, right? So we need to realize we need one another,
Amen.
Right? We need to be grouped together. And even we need to pray. If we don't have a companion, we need to pray to find a companion, right? And not to do this in a loose way and not in a natural way, you know, going according to our preference, but to find someone the Lord would put with us. You just pray in a simple way, Lord, give me a companion, right? And this is not to have a social relationship, right? This is to have something that we could fellowship, pray, and pursue the truth, right? And that's what we're going to talk about right now. And to take care of the new ones, right? And if we're grouped this way, there was a quote in the ministry that we would be the gospel preaching on the campus would be like wildfire, right?
Amen.
So if all of us find a vital companion and we're grouped together in twos and threes, And we have this kind of vital prayer, right? The Lord will answer our prayers.
Amen.
And he will move on the campuses. And the gospel will be like wildfire.
Amen.
You know, and then, of course, a big matter, and I don't want this sharing to change any of this. We need to learn how to open to one another, right? In the twos and threes, we need to know one another. You don't just come together and just start pray reading or psalming or, you know, well, maybe we do. Maybe that is the first thing we do. But Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But we do need to open and know one another's status, our condition, right, and fellowship with one another. But, you know, eventually, you know, you can only open so far, right? And you might find out, you know, what your family is made up of, you know, who your cousins are, or, the problems that you've had recently or in the past, and you may open these things up. But eventually, you know, we're not just there to open up to one another forever, right? So what are we going to do with our time, right? Of course, we're going to pray, right? Pray for our contacts, for our friends. But then, you know, if you're going to minister something of Christ to someone, you need to have some content, right? You need to have something in you so you can be a channel vessel, right, to dispense the riches of Christ, right?
Amen.
So why don't we read together Roman numeral 1 with a strong spirit. We need to pursue the full knowledge of the truth. That is to know God's word with a thorough and complete knowledge, both personally and with vital companions. Amen. So we need to pursue, right? This should be something in our heart, right? That we would pursue the full knowledge of the truth. Why is that? Because in 1 Timothy 2:4, God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth, right? So it's wonderful that we could bring someone to know the Lord, right, to be saved. But his desire is that they would have the full knowledge of the truth, right? So how are we going to do that if we don't have the full knowledge of the truth, right? So we need to be constituted. We need to be filled up with the truth, right? Lord Jesus, and someone may come to you and ask a question that you just... you don't know the answer to, right? That's okay, you know, and we're all being perfected. Believe me, if you ask me a question, I probably don't know the answer. But you know, we need to realize that we need to have a vast reservoir of the truth, right? Built up and constituted in our being so that when we contact others, we're not at a loss, right? We have something that's really part of our being, right? You know, if you're in a situation, I think, it was brought out earlier that, when Stephen was being stoned, right? What he said, Father, I forgive them, or I don't hold this to their account, right? And the same words that the Lord spoke, but he wasn't thinking about it, right? You know, what should I say, right? But this was something that was in his being, right? This was part of his being, so he just responded that way. In the same sense, we need to have the truth in us in this kind of way so that we're able to share with others without having to, you know, go look through our notes like I'm doing right now. Lord Jesus, amen. We're all learning, right? And so, you know, it'd be good to see what is the connection here between pursuing the truth and these groups of twos and threes, right? Well, you know, one thing, again, I mentioned is that we need to redeem our time, right? By, you know, when we open to one another, eventually we may run out of things to open about, right? So we need to spend some time to get into the Word, to get into the ministry. And also, it's very good to have a kind of accountability with one another, right? Recently, or over the last couple of years, actually, I have been reading through the life studies with another brother, actually with two or three other brothers. And saints, before I started doing this, I could never read through a whole life study book, right? I'd always get stuck in the middle or just, you know, lose interest or lose heart or get discouraged and just, you know, put it on the shelf and forget about it. But once I got connected with a brother, right, and we committed to one another, we're going to do this, I've been able to get through the entire life study of Revelation, you know, and I'm almost done with Ephesians, and I don't know, a bunch of the Old Testament books, right? Because, you know, I have this accountability, right? We're doing it together, right? So we really need one another to get into the truth. And also, you know, we are not complete in ourselves, right? We may have some deposit of the truth. We may think we understand even some scripture, but then we get with another brother and we just get kind of exposed. Wow, I didn't realize that this is what it really said, you know? So we need to have this balancing of others, right, in our pursuit of the truth. So it's, I mean, on one hand, we need to do this individually, but on the other hand, we need to do it as a vital group, right, with others. Lord Jesus, amen. there was something else, Lord. Anyway, amen. So let's read. Okay, we kind of covered A. Let's read A together, though. It is God's heart's desire that all men would not only be saved, but would come to the full knowledge of the truth. Right, so we saw that. It's good. Praise the Lord. We get people saved, but they need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Okay, let's also read B. It has been fully proven among us that the most profitable writings and publications are the life study messages with the notes of the recovery version. They were written for life ministering, truth releasing, and for opening up the books of the Bible. Yeah, well, before I get into that point, you know, there's some verse references here, Luke 24:27. And this is concerning the Lord, this is the Lord on the road to Emmaus. And he was, you know, the disciples were quite discouraged at this point, right? The Lord had been crucified and resurrected, but some of them, I don't think they really believed he was resurrected. And they were just kind of talking among themselves. And then the Lord appeared alongside them and asked them, well, you know, what are you talking about? What are you discussing, right? And they'd said, you know, are you a stranger? What does it say here? Jesus himself drew near, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, you know, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another while you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, Cleopas by name, answered and said, do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem and do not know the things which have taken place in these days? He's talking to the Lord of glory, right? Saying, you don't know what happened, you know. But the Lord was so gracious, so compassionate. He just listened to them, right? And eventually, though, he began to expound to them all the things concerning himself in the Old Testament, right? So he was one, of course, the Lord was one who was fully constituted with the truth. He was one who spent, in fact, you know, if you look in Matthew 4, right, we were enjoying that verse this morning, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Lord quoted that to Satan when he was tempted. And he was obviously eating and enjoying the book of Deuteronomy, right? So all his responses to Satan were from the book of Deuteronomy. And then also in Luke, in chapter 4, when he was in the temple and they handed him the scroll, he began to read from the book of Isaiah. And he began to, you know, speak concerning the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Jubilee. You know, this day the Jubilee has been fulfilled, right? In your ears. And so he was one who was in the Word, right? Fully constituted with the Word. And able to release the word at the proper time. Lord Jesus. The other example I wanted to give was a matter of Philip, right? This I really enjoy this portion in Acts chapter 8, right? You know, Philip was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness, and there was a eunuch on a chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And he was reading Isaiah chapter 53 even, and then Philip ran up and heard him reading and said, do you know the things that you're reading? And the eunuch said to him, how can I know unless someone guides me? And then Philip began to come up and sit with him, and the verse that they were reading was, as a sheep has led to the slaughter and a lamb is before its shearers is dumb, so he does not open his mouth. And the eunuch said to Philip, I beseech you, concerning whom does the prophet say this? Concerning himself or concerning someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he announced Jesus as the gospel to him, right? So he began there, but he began to speak concerning Christ throughout the rest of the chapter, I'm sure, and probably maybe the rest of the book of Isaiah, because he was constituted with this word, right? So someone may come to you and say, what does this mean, right? You know, what does this verse mean here in Luke 24? He reclined it, whatever the verse is. But if we don't have anything, you know, constituted in our being, what are we going to say? You know, we need to have this word, right? Really, in our being, right? Lord Jesus, amen. So anyway, this matter that the most profitable writings and publications are the life study messages. I just want to read something from this ministry magazine. This is given from a conference on the intrinsic need in the Lord's recovery. And it's talking about the ministry. Brother Lee said, all the things we presented to you in the ministry are just openers. Those of us who've read the life study messages can testify that these life studies with the recovery version and all the footnotes open the Bible to us whenever we touch them. You know, we have a great wealth in our hands of much ministry. You know, the brothers have always been sharing from the recovery version with the footnotes, right? These are just openers. The Bible is the riches, right? All the riches are in the Word of God, right? But we need someone to interpret it, right? Amen. Just like the eunuch needed Philip to interpret the Bible. You know, the Bible can be full of mysteries, right? And it is. It's full of revelation and mysteries. How are you going to understand it without someone to interpret it for you, right? You know, a brother recently shared, he said it's like, you know, there's a game the children sometimes have. It's a drawing with drawings hidden in the drawing, right? So you have, like, maybe it's a landscape with some trees and a house, but hidden in there's a fish, or there's a dog upside down and off into the corner, right? And the child has to figure out where are these other drawings in there. Well, this is like us coming to the Bible. There are all kinds of riches in this word, right? But how much do we understand? How much do we see, right? We need help. we need a Philip to come and open the Word to us, right? And this is what the life studies, the footnotes, and all the ministry is for us, right? Is a way to help us unlock these riches, right? So when we're pray reading, and I really enjoyed our brother's illustrations and examples and experience of reading the Word, we can pray read all Scripture, and we can pray read all the ministry. Because the ministry just comes out of the Word, right? So we shouldn't feel strange. You know, if we get an outline or something that's rich to us, we shouldn't feel strange to pray read that, right? To enjoy that outline, to get it into us, right? Even to sing it, right? We may sing the outline. So these are the recovery version and the life studies are written for life ministering, truth releasing, and opening up the books of the Bible. That's all they do, is they just open up the books of the Bible. So the last point for me is C. Why don't we read that together? We must be constituted with the riches of Christ revealed in the Bible in order to dispense these riches into others. I think I shared that. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen.
Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, 2 and 8.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, actually, before I begin, I just want to, I want everybody to know that after I'm done speaking, we're going to give you a little time to speak about your experience in the twos or threes in the afternoon. Amen. Has everybody been having a good time?
Amen.
How about my three? Stand up. Where's Josh and Jimmy?
Amen.
Stand up and say, hallelujah for the twos or threes. Hallelujah for the twos or threes. Praise the Lord, Jimmy. I mean, hasn't it been good? So after I'm done speaking, please come and share. Encourage us with your experiences of the twos or threes that we've had this week. That this would be something that would not just be for this week, but even would be something we would practice this year. And not just this year, but for the rest of our lives.
Amen.
I think Brother Dave's word and the word that's been spoken all this week, the twos or threes, this is the body of Christ on a cellular level. This is the most basic unit. And this is something we need to be impressed by, and we need to practice this. Okay, so let's read Ephesians 3, 2, and 8. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship, the grace of God, which was given to me for you, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. All right, how about pray read with your neighbor the second half of verse 2, starting from the grace of God. Hallelujah for the grace of God! The grace of God was given to me for you! I think this is what I want to start with for the foundation of my speaking, is that we need to realize, number one, that it is God's heart's desire, what? That all men be saved.
Amen.
And come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
And I think as Brother Dick shared on Monday morning, God is in us.
Amen.
This life, which desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth, is now our life.
Amen.
Are you touching this life? Do you have some sense of this? We are enjoying the grace of God this week, are we not?
Amen.
Everybody who's been enjoying the grace of God, say hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
And do we not, to some degree, want others to enter into this?
Amen.
Have you touched the heart of our Savior God? I think to some degree we are touching, and we want all men, not just the ones in this room, not just the ones in our locality, but even, let me ask, I mean, I think this is the case. Have not some friends come up in your heart? Boy, I wish Mark Cruz from Hayward, I wish he would know about this. You know, what about your friend? How about everybody? Just say, oh, Lord Jesus, and put it, the name of the friend you're burdened for right there. Oh, Lord Jesus, Mark. You know, I think there's some heart, right, that we also desire, all men, you know, to be saved, and not just to be saved, but to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And this is because of the life that we have received. And so if we want others to be saved, we have to speak. If we want them to come to the full knowledge of the truth, who's gonna bring them to the Lord? I mean, who knows? I don't know, whatever the name of the friend you prayed for. Who knows that person in this room beside maybe you, maybe a couple others? Who's going to preach the gospel to them? Who's going to bring them to the full knowledge of the truth? Who's going to show them that Christ can be their life? Christ can be the indwelling pattern, that they wouldn't have to live out their own goodness, but could be saved into a life of overcoming. Who's going to speak these things? You are. I am. You know, but what are we going to say? I mean, I think when we're here, it's very easy to speak anything. You just come to the microphone, say one line, and everybody says, hallelujah, amen. You know, everybody's going to say amen because everybody's been in the messages. You know, everybody here knows what you're talking about. You know, everybody's going to say, hallelujah, Christ is my life. Christ wants to be lived out through me. But you go home and you share with, okay, whatever that name you said was, you know, you go and say, you know, Christ is my life. And I can say, really? You know, what are you talking about? And then, you know, we have to be able to present, you know, actually, Christ is my life. Who can say, who knows a verse where it says Christ is our life? What's the reference?
Colossians 3:4.
When Christ our life is manifested. Hallelujah, Christ is our life. And then you say, wow, you know, Christ is my life and Christ wants to be your life. And then how can Christ become that person's life? Ooh, that person ain't going to get saved. You know, oh boy, oh Lord Jesus. You know, we got to have something to speak. You know, call the Lord and you'll be saved. What verse is that? Romans 10:13. You can point them, you know, the Lord, 12 and 13, the Lord is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joe, call on his name. You know, receive him. Be saved. Receive him as your life. There. Wow. Someone got saved. Now, what about bringing him to the full knowledge of the truth? Anyway, I think we have a burden. We have a feeling. But now we need to know what to say. And so there's what my burden here, this message point is, we want to give you a way to get the truth into your being so we can, let's read 1C. We must be constituted with the riches of Christ revealed in the Bible in order to dispense these riches into others. Okay, we're inspired, but now we need a way. We need a way to be constituted. We need a way to be equipped so we can nourish people and dispense the riches of Christ into them. How about let's read Roman numeral 2 together. By taking the way of PSRP, pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying in the twos or threes, we will be equipped to nourish people with the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you want to be equipped to nourish people?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so what we want to give you is a way to get equipped. So, okay, who's heard of PSRP before? Okay, throw it out the window for now. Okay, just throw it out the window. Because what I want to, what our burden is here, is we're not here to give you a method or a practice, some formalized way when you come together with your twos and threes for 20 minutes, pray read, for the next 20 minutes, study, for the next 10 minutes, try to memorize, maybe in vain for some of us, and then for the next 10 minutes, practice speaking. That's good, okay? I mean, if you want to do that, that's a great way. But my burden is I want to impress you that these four things, pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying, they are crucial and necessary, you know, for our being constituted. This is, you know, if not, you know, the best way, this is a great way for you to be filled with the riches of Christ.
Amen.
In order to be able to speak these to others. Okay, you're not impressed yet. I want to impress you, okay? By the time we're down here, I hope everybody will want to pray, read, you know, study, get into the Word, and even get the stuff into you, and then to speak it. Okay, let's read point A together. Pray reading in the twos or threes lays a good foundation for studying, reciting, and prophesying. We gain nourishment from the words of the Scripture by turning these words into prayer. Okay. I want to impress you that prayer reading is necessary. I mean, even before you start studying, you know, didn't you all enjoy that prayer reading demonstration? I mean, when you think prayer reading, that's what you should be thinking, you know. Prayer reading is not, you know, it's not just a dead, methodical repetition through the Word. That's valuable, okay? There is value to that. But we need to learn to touch the Word with our spirit and enjoy.
Amen.
We have to be able to enjoy the Lord in the Word. If we don't enjoy it, why would we speak it? Okay, who knows John 6:63? Okay, B. I mean, the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. What are these words? Spirit and life. How do you touch spirit? You have to exercise your spirit. You know, the essence and the essence of the word is spiritual. I mean, this is not something that we can lay hold of by mental analysis of the word. I mean, you have to strike, you know, the spirit of the word with your spirit.
Amen.
And then you touch the spirit of the word, and then you're able to bring someone else into the spirit of the word. I mean, if all we do is study in a mental way, we will minister dead letters and kill people. Hallelujah! Is that what we want to do?
No!
We want to minister life. So we need to touch the life and the spirit in the word.
Amen.
You know, and so because that's the essence, we need to exercise our spirit when we come to the word. And then when we dispense it, it will be spirit and life. And then even Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. You know, who knows what, who can recite Ephesians 1, 17 and 18? Okay. I can't either. But I know it talks about a spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is the key in this verse, okay? If you turn to it, let's just read it together. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, that eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your his calling. Okay, so revelation is a matter of our human spirit. If we come to the word with mental analysis, we will not get revelation. We might get some understanding of doctrine and be able to fit some things together. But if you want revelation, which is the rolling away of the veil, and to be able to see what is really in the word, you need to be one who touches the, receives the word by means of all prayer. Amen. And then when we speak the word, it will be an unveiling word. Otherwise, we get doctrine and we speak doctrine. Okay, so this is why in Ephesians 6 it says, you know, you receive the sword of the Spirit. Which spirit is the word of God? How? By means of all prayer and petition. I wish I could share about that. But you know, by means of all prayer, just stick with this. I mean, you know, one way is repeat reading. You know, we're used to that. You know, you just repeat the words, exercise your spirit. That's good. There's something. But what about, I really enjoyed Brother Brian's praying of that verse about Moab or whatever. Wasn't that so good? I mean, we need to learn to really pray, read, to pray with the words that we read, or even that example of Reuel this morning. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. If you touch the word in that way, you will not forget that word, and you will want others to receive mercy from the Lord. Amen. And so we need to learn. I wish I could get into this more, but Brian did such a good job. I mean, we need to learn to really enter into a living fellowship and enjoyment of the Lord in the word. Are you impressed? I mean, we need to pray read if to get life so we can give life. Okay, oh Lord Jesus. Okay, okay. So the second item is studying. Okay, let's read our point B together. In the twos or threes, we have to study the truths word by word, term by term, and phrase by phrase. Okay. So then why do we need to, okay, if we're filled with joy, we're enjoying the Lord, we want to speak, let's just go speak. But, you know, this matter of studying, why would we need to study? I mean, I think for me, I mean, this drives me to study is, you know, the people that I speak to, they're going to ask me questions. Right. You know, where does it say that in the Bible? Somewhere in the New Testament. That's just not going to fly, you know? I mean, there are a lot of seeking believers out there, okay? I mean, there are a lot of people that want to know. They do really want to know. They're not trying to be difficult. But if you say, you know, Christ wants to live himself in us again, you know, then they say, show me that. You know, it's somewhere in the New Testament. I remember I was there last week. I spoke it in the meeting. It was really good. Christ wants to live in you again. Show it to me. Don't just tell me. Show me, you know. But, you know, if you show them, they'll go, praise the Lord. Christ also wants to be my life. You know, if we study in an adequate way and we know how to convey this to others, then they can also be brought into the same enjoyment that we are having. Don't you want to do that? Amen. But for this, I mean, don't you enjoy? I mean, Brother Dick's speaking. Every time he speaks, try to catch, or any of the brothers, you catch. He's just reciting verses left and right. And we kind of gloss over them and we go, oh, yeah, that's great. But imagine how much he has studied the word to get into that. And then when he speaks, there is impact. It's not just, oh, brother so-and-so said this to me. You know, the Bible is full of impact.
Amen.
You know, even more than someone else is speaking. I mean, you might read this outline. You might read a ministry book and say, Brother Lee says, and then he's going to say, who's Brother Lee? Brother who? You know, the word says, Brother Lee always said, don't say that. He always, all the time said, don't say Brother Lee says. You have to say the word says.
Amen.
You know, what does it say? Colossians 1:20 says, Christ is in me as the hope of glory.
Amen.
Colossians 3:4, Christ is our life.
Amen.
Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
And Christ lives in me.
Amen.
If you were to speak that, I mean, don't be argumentative, but if you unveil the word in that way, in the way of spirit and life, your friend might say, well, I want that. Well, here, let me take you to one more verse. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll get saved, and he'll come right into you to be your life. Oh, man. I mean, has anyone ever had that happen to them? I mean, I think a few have, right? I mean, as someone was telling me, John, right, you said your friend prayed to receive the Lord at the end of that retreat. Wasn't that a joy? It was like being saved all over again. To have that. But we need to be equipped. We need to have the verses. We need to be able to speak these things. So we need to study. Let's read. So the first thing in studying is this point one. Let's read this. In reading anything, we must first understand the vocabulary. Okay, this might seem silly, but when you're reading through the Bible, if you don't know a word, look it up. Get a dictionary. Always have a dictionary on hand. They're really good. You're reading the ministry. Some of these words, what do they mean? What does Brother Lee mean by the compound, all-inclusive, life-giving, sevenfold, intensified, all-inclusive spirit? What do these words mean? I don't, you know, if you don't know what they mean, ask somebody. That's why you have twos or threes. That's why it's so good to start in the twos or threes. Did you catch what that brother said about da-da-da-da-da? Oh, okay, that's what it means. Oh, now I can actually read the outline and understand. Oh, what does this verse mean? You got to understand the words. This is basic. All right, the second matter is here in points two, three, and four. How about let's have the brothers read two, sisters three, and then brothers four. Amen. Amen. After sectioning these points, we have a bird's eye view when we look at all the sections. This will increase our light and increase our vision. Okay, basically, I would summarize these three points by, you need to learn how to make an outline. Isn't this so good that the book of Philippians has an outline? Have you all been memorizing the outline of Philippians? Let's do the six Roman numerals without the verses. Roman 1 is introduction. Roman 2 is magnifying Christ, or magnify him. Roman 3? Amen. Roman 4? Amen. Roman 5? Roman 6? Hallelujah. You know, even just by having these six Roman numerals, you know what the book of Philippians is about. You know, chapter 1 has an introduction, talks about living Christ and magnifying Christ. Chapter 2, there's a pattern. We need to take him and hold him forth.
Amen.
Chapter 3 is we're pursuing Christ to gain him.
Amen.
You know, chapter 4, he's the secret of sufficiency. You know, we can do all things in Christ.
Amen.
And then there's a conclusion. You know, if someone asks you about Philippians, you could share something with them. I mean, if you just say, oh, the book of Philippians is wonderful, you should read it. I mean, why should I read it? Because it's about experiencing Christ. In the book of Philippians, we see that we can take Christ as our living, our pattern, our goal, our power, and our secret.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
And even just by having that, you can already speak about the book of Philippians. One subject and six Roman numerals. We need to learn to come to the truth in that way and understand how are the sections fitted together Is this a subsection? Is this a parallel section? Are these like equal value? Is this a subpoint or a main point? And then one brother compared it once, kind of like a drop-down menu in Windows. You know, you click on, you know, file, and then you have all these choices, and it's like, oh, I want to print. And you want to print, you know, I want to print this or that. And you go and go more and more detail. You're able to say more. There's more options. This gives us a way to speak. And it's not on here, but one other thing that one other way that I feel is very good to study is we actually need to learn to ask questions. Okay, when you come to the Word, ask questions. Good questions. Okay, of course, 2 Timothy 2:23 and Titus 3:9, they talk about foolish questionings, which arise from an untrained mind. These we have to refuse, okay? You know, there are certain things that you might want to know, but some of them are a little bit useless. You might, for the fun of it, pursue some bunny trails once in a while. But when you come to the Word, you should ask. You know, one question I asked, I wish I could share about this, is in Ephesians 6:17, why does it say receive the Word by all prayer, means of all prayer and petition? Why does Paul throw and petition in there? And then at the end, he says, watch unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. Have you ever thought about this? Why, I mean, usually when I think about these verses, I think, oh, yeah, receive the Word by prayer. This is the good verse to say we need to pray to read the Word. But why does it talk about petitioning? You know, I don't know. But I think in a little bit, Brian, actually, I appreciate it. You petitioned when you were praying that verse, or some of those verses, I don't remember. You petitioned for the saints. This is a good way to receive the Word. Amen. With a view of the twos and threes and with a view of the body of Christ, it's not just for us. It's for Joe. It's for Mark. It's for whoever, your friend. Pray for them using the Word. You know, this. Anyway, ask questions. So ask questions to come to the Word. What does this mean? Why is this here? You know, why does the Lord talk about this? And you can this. Then you fellowship about this in your twos and threes. Okay. Lord Jesus. Are you impressed? Amen. Don't just be impressed. Go home and study the Word. You know, you ask questions, you know, and then but while you're studying, stay in spirit and life.
Amen.
Remember to stay in the enjoyment. We need to learn to apply these things to enjoyment. And even when our friends ask us these questions, you might want to anticipate, you know, I think my friend will ask me this. How do you answer that question? But not just answer the question, bring them back to Christ as spirit and life. I'm really impressed by all the questions that the people ask the Lord. They ask the Lord so many questions, but every question, he just answered it or diffused it and just brought people back to spirit and life. You know, anyway, we need to study in this way. I'm just going to go on. Okay, so then next point is the matter of reciting. Let's see. Oh, Lord Jesus. Reciting. Let me just give you a brief definition of reciting. This is not just memorizing. Okay? Reciting means to repeat from memory or read aloud publicly. Another definition is to repeat or read aloud something memorized or prepared. So reciting here is not just to fill our mind with the truth, but it's to fill our mind with the truth with a view to speaking. All of these points, the prayer reading, the studying, the reciting, and the prophesying, they are crucial for our speaking these things to others, to our bringing others into the reality of the things that we have enjoyed. Okay, so this is to recite. And why, you might ask, why is it important that we recite and commit these things to memory? One reason that I consider is, you know, you just never know when you're going to have the opportunity to speak. You might not have, you know, your life studies with you at that particular moment. You might not have the time, even if you have a PDA, to go, hold on, I remember this was in the ministry, let me pick it out and speak it to you. You got to have something, you know, with you, ready to speak. I appreciate from the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, the Lord just said, go take this road. You see that chariot? Go join. And he's reading Isaiah 53, and it's talking about the Lord. I mean, if Philip wasn't familiar, didn't have things to say, how could he lead this one to salvation?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think Philip that morning was like, okay, I'm pretty sure the Lord is going to ask me to speak Isaiah 53. So, okay, let's read it. Let's read the footnotes. And, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go. Okay, which road am I taking? You know, sometimes the Lord will say, you know, sit at that table with that person. He looks lonely. And you sit down and you just start strike a conversation. And he's in the need of the Lord Jesus. You don't have time to go, oh, that footnote was so good. Let me pull it out. You gotta be ready to go. You gotta speak it there. He might just have 30 seconds. Oh man, I gotta go right now. But if you have 30 second infusion, he could be saved at the end of the 30 seconds. I don't know. I mean, for anybody who's gone out cold turkey on the gospel, you just go, you have no idea what they are gonna ask you. To me, actually, that's part of the thrill of it. You know, you go and I don't know. There's no Christian bungee jumping or parachuting. I mean, you can still do these things, but I mean, but there's adventure in the Christian life. Part of the adventure is I have no idea what I'm gonna get into. You know, I'm just gonna walk up to Brian and, hey, you know, do you want to know about Jesus? I'm like, I hate Jesus. I hate religion. And then you have to prepare to speak. Actually, you know what? What I'm in love with is not a religion, but a person. Christ hated religion in the Bible. And you gotta be ready for with a couple stories in the Gospels. You know, when he met the Pharisees, they were the most religious. But those are the ones that the Lord condemned the most. Christ hates religion, and I do too. You want to receive the Lord? you got to be able to present. Describe about the wonderful, lovely Lord Jesus. You got to have some words. Why is the Lord wonderful and marvelous? My dad asked me once, you know, does the Lord have a sense of humor? He's not a believer, okay? So does the Lord have a sense of humor? And I was really happy, you know. Well, how would you answer that question? I mean, can you show that the Lord has a sense of humor? You know, I was happy. It was during the life study of Esther. So I just told him the story of Esther, who's like at Haman. You know, built up the gallows to hang Mordecai. And then he gets hung by the same one. Ironic humor right in the book of Esther, you know. You know, look at that. I mean, God has a sense of humor. You know, and, you know, appeased my dad a little bit, you know, and gave me a chance to just speak something to him. You have no idea what questions people are going to ask you. You just gotta be ready with whatever. You have to be able to have something in there. If you have nothing in there, you're going to have nothing to speak. You know, you have to be able to be ready in season and out of season. You just got to speak whatever they want to hear. And you got to speak to be able to bring them into the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
For that, it takes study and it takes constitution into our memory. So that's one reason. But and I have more stories. But let's read point one. That should be Acts 11:16, by the way. Just change that to 11:16. How about sisters read point one, and then the brothers read point two. Amen. Amen. Aren't you getting nourished by the book of Philippians?
Amen.
Every time you re-speak a verse from Philippians, aren't you getting nourished? Oh, through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ,
amen.
this, whatever this is going to turn out to salvation.
Amen.
You're getting nourished. And then you know how to present the truth to others. Okay, brothers, read this one real quick, too. Brothers Lee's prayer was that the Lord would make us all tape recorders, repeating this speaking in his recovery. I mean, don't you want to speak the speaking we've been hearing all week?
Yeah.
This is, and we're only just halfway through. There's so much, I think, that we want to share with our friends, with our family members, with our neighbors, whatever. But we need to have something in us to be able to share, to bring them into the same enjoyment that we are having.
Amen.
It can be done, but we need to be constituted. Okay, oh Lord Jesus. Okay, let's go to point D. I just got to get through this real quick. Okay, point D, let's read this together. We should practice to prophesy in the twos or threes. with what we can recite. Okay.
Prophesying.
Oh, sorry. Okay, that's good. Okay. So just that point D. Actually, I didn't notice this here, but it says, you know, we need to practice to prophesy with what we can recite. You can't. A lot of, you know, we can't recite everything. Some of us are, you know, starting to lose our memories, and we're not that great, you know, at reciting and memorizing things. But we can recite some things, right? And some of you may think that you're not good. You know, you might say, oh, I can't memorize that much. But you can recite some, right? I mean, I think everybody's at least memorized part of at least one verse, right? Must, I believe. But, you know, we need to learn how to speak with whatever we can recite. Don't be condemned if you can't recite the whole book of Philippians backwards and forwards. Speak what you got. Amen. We just need to learn to impart life with whatever we got.
Amen.
When you know, here we're going to test you. You got to have it word perfect and smooth and got to be able to have everything just right. But when you get out there, I mean, no one's going to be impressed that you got the colon there or you remember the comma, but they will be impressed that something of Christ is in you and they can enjoy Christ too. So in Matthew 12:34b, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, we want to have our heart filled. We want to have a heart filled with good things. You know, we pray, read them, we enjoy them, we study them, we get them into us. We try to memorize with a view to speaking, just get whatever you can. And when you're full of these things, you can't do anything else but just speak. I mean, someone is going to ask you. I'm prophesying. I'm predicting the future. This is not the prophesying 1 Corinthians 14. But, you know, I'm predicting sometime next week, someone will ask you, what did you do last week? You know, I think I'm going to be right, okay? Someone's going to ask you, what did you do last week? And I think your heart will be full. And you're going to speak something about gaining Christ. Okay, so, but we need to do this for more than 1 week. 52 weeks, we got to be in something and just getting into something, filling our heart and our mouth with good things. Then we'll overflow to others. Okay, so here to prophesy is to speak for the Lord and to speak forth the Lord. That is to minister Christ to people. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14, this is not talking about predicting the future, like I tried to right now, or just kind of, you know, some sort of, you know, prophesying of things to come. The prophesying in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 14 is to speak for and forth Christ. And when is the time to speak for and forth Christ? When is this time to prophesy? In 5 minutes, I hope. Oh, Lord Jesus. But prophesying is not just for Lord's Day morning, 11 a.m. You know, prophesying is for every day.
Amen.
Preaching the gospel is prophesying. Sharing with your friend what you enjoyed this week, that's a prophesying. If you're speaking for and forth Christ, our life needs to be a life of prophesying.
Amen.
And let's see the way to prophesy here. Let's, sisters, read one, brothers, two. Let's just read through these 4 points real quick. To prophesy. Amen. The composition of a prophecy according to the way 1 Corinthians 14 comprises sisters. So there's knowledge from our study. Okay, brothers. The utterance to speak forth what we know and have experienced of God, Christ, and the spiritual things. This is different from eloquence. Utterance is just being able to speak what we have experienced of God, Christ, and the spiritual things. You don't need to be eloquent, but you do need to be able to utter. Okay, sisters. Okay, when we speak, we need to know where we are and where the person or the people that we're speaking to are. You know, he might be an unbeliever, he might be saved. You got to know what word he needs and how to speak it to them. How we present it actually makes a big difference. You can present the exact same word in two different ways. One way, he will just absolutely refuse and just say, I don't like your attitude. I don't like the way you're speaking it. I don't like the words you're using. But if you speak it the same thing in a different way, you know, you have to be able to study it, be flexible. There might be a way in.
That's right.
He might be diffused. You know, if we know how to, if we understand who we're speaking to and what this person needs. So we need some enlightenment and some understanding. All right, and then brothers on D. The instant inspiration of the indwelling spirit that stirs up our spirit to speak. Okay, so the goal is we want to be able to speak Christ to others and bring others to enjoy Christ. But actually, you know, last thing I want to say about prophesying is actually this is also a way to get constituted. If you study with a view that you want to speak, your studying will be different. And also, when you practice to speak, as you practice, you will learn your deficiencies and the wrong ways to say things. You'll make a lot of mistakes. Go out and make a lot of mistakes. This is the way that you will learn. When you study a language, the best way to learn it is you just got to speak. Your grammar is terrible. Your idiomatic expressions, you don't know them. Your accent is off. Whatever. You'll learn, and you will improve by speaking. And by speaking, we will learn how to speak. Infuse Christ into others and to bring others into the enjoyment of Christ. Amen. So are y'all impressed?
Amen.
We need a pray read. Study, recite, and learn how to speak and bring others into what we're enjoying.
Amen.
Okay, so now is the time for you to speak. 10 seconds, either something from this morning's messages or something from your twos and threes.